Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
To talk to about baseball and some basketball, then our good buddy and just a staple in the world of New York baseball for so many years, our friend Omar Minaya, the special assistant to the general manager of the New York Yankees and all around just great guy. Omar, number one, welcome aboard. Good to talk to you again. I'm watching your guy, Albert Pujols, as a manager. He won the Winter League with Escogido, and now is part of the Caribbean series. I've never seen, Omar, have you ever seen a guy that's going to be a surefire Hall of Famer, all right, take a job like this, managing, you know, a team in the Dominican Winter Leagues, and now the, you know, Serie del Caribe, this Caribbean series. You know, here's a guy that doesn't need this. Do you think Albert Pujols is looking to manage eventually in the major leagues?
Yes, he is. And very happy to be with you, Ricky, because I spoke with Albert. He's having a good time. We spoke last week, and he's really enjoying it. As you know, Luis Rojas, our third base coach, is the general manager of that team. And that team has a rich history. The Alou family, whether it's Moises, Felipe, managed that team. And in talking to Albert, yes, he's having a good time. He told me that he will love to manage someday in the major leagues. And they had a great finals. They went to 7 game. And if you followed it, I've never seen that.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't even a walk-off, but the kid Caminero, I believe it was Caminero, something like that from Tampa Bay, hit a home run, a monster home run. And in typical Winter League festive environment, I encourage everybody to go to YouTube and look at it and see what winter ball, the excitement of winter ball is in celebration. And to your other question, yes, but you got to go back as far as a sure Hall of Famer managing. And the only guy that I can think of, there might have been others, but Frank Robinson, who you know was going to be a Hall of Famer, did manage many years in managed in Puerto Rico and Santurce. So, you know, there has been guys doing that, but of course, the game has changed and less guys are taking less proven guys are taking the winter ball route.
Yeah. A guy that's made as much money as Albert did in his career. This is definitely under the definition of for the love of the game. For him to come back and do this, because, you know, it's not like he needs the money, but for him to come back and represent his country and the whole thing, it just goes to show you this guy is baseball to the core.
Well, and you're right, Ricky, and the game has changed. The guys that go to win a ball, the Jose Ramirez, the Fernando Tatis, they're multimillionaire, and yeah. They play because they love to play in front of their fans. And the same thing with Albert. So it's not about the money, like you said. It's for the love of the game, and these guys are. You know, we use a word, they're ballers. That's what they are. They're ballers. Mm-hmm. They love to compete. They don't care how much money they have. They're competitors. And the reason that they have had great careers and will continue to have great careers because they have that competitive edge compared to other guys. And I commend players that go play there, and I commend managers that go play there, coaches that go play there. If you like competition and you are a competitor, that's where you want to be.
All right, and I tell you what, for Giant and Jet fans that don't care about the Super Bowl, that are sick of these other teams, and you want a baseball fix, I highly recommend you watch the Caribbean Series. It's on MLB Network. It's in English, so it's not even that you have to watch it in Spanish, but you're going to see some high-quality baseball and a lot of faces that you're going to recognize from the major leagues. All right, let's shift to the Yankees. I'm just going to get this out in the open over with quickly here in the beginning of our conversation, but now that Juan Soto has made the move from the Bronx all the way to Queens, I'm the first guy, Omar, that got on these radio waves right here on this station and told Yankee fans there is absolutely no, zero, nada, no reason whatsoever to be upset at Hal Steinbrenner or any member of the Yankee organization because to the lengths that they went to try to re-sign Juan Soto, okay, they went above and beyond 10 times over. What, and I'm not saying that, you know, numbers-wise. I just mean effort-wise and want-wise. The organization did everything humanly possible to get this done. He just simply went for the higher bid, the more money. It's that simple. How do you look at it?
What I totally agree with what you're saying is that, commending the Yankee ownership, Hal Steinbrenner, Randy Levine, the whole group, from an ownership standpoint, to making the best effort possible to sign Juan Soto, to make him a Yankee. And first of all, we really want to thank Juan for the wonderful year that we had in 2024. You know, we don't get to the World Series without Juan. You know what I'm saying? That being said, it was a team effort, but Juan was a big part of that. And the 1 year that he gave us, I think what we saw this past year, it's historic, and nobody has seen it in the history of the game. The two, probably what I consider the best right-handed hitter in the game and probably the best left-handed hitter in the game, playing the same lineup back-to-back for 162 games. That has never happened. I mean, yeah, I don't know. You know, there's been great players. There's been, but they haven't been lefty and righty. There's been two.
And not in the young prime of their careers like this.
Well, I just don't think, Ricky, if you can tell me who are the two best lefty-righty combo in the history of the game is, let me know who they are. Cause I've looked around, and lefty-righty, I'm saying, okay? Yeah. There's never been a better lefty-righty combo in the history of the game than those two guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And to me, we experienced something great. Now, we, the Yankees, we thank Juan for everything he did, but I also, to your point, the Yankee family, Steinbrenner, Mr. Steinbrenner, Randy, Brian Cashman, we said, okay, we're going to do everything we can to sign him. But at the same time that those negotiations were going on, I can tell you that we as a front office, we were working on plan B, C, and D. And I like our plan B. You know, I really do. I like our plan B. It's a credit to the leadership of Brian to bringing us together. It's a credit of our organization to kind of have dialogue, to back and forth. And I like the add-ons that we've done this year. And I feel very excited to get to spring training next year. I think we're a versatile team. I think we're better defensively. I think we have more speed. So we have a lot of good things. I think our bullpen is probably better. And we're not even done yet. So, yes, you're right. Thank you, Juan, and Mr. Steinbrenner did everything we can. and we're just excited about 2025.
The shift, I think, was masterful. You know, bringing in a good mix of Goldschmidt's a tremendous veteran, but not just on the field, Omar, in the clubhouse. This may be, and it was a good clubhouse last year. I'm not saying it wasn't. This is going to be a little bit of a different clubhouse. No Glaber. Kainley's gone. But you brought in some veterans here, and it's been Goldschmidt, and you've got some pieces here that not only fit on the field, but I think are going to be very good influences in the clubhouse.
Well, when we talk about leadership, when we talk about clubhouse, you start off with two guys, Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge, and they're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The captain is there. He's his leadership is respected. He's a homegrown Yankee, and no matter who comes in, he is the captain. I thought that he is the guy that we have, and from a pitching standpoint, Gerrit does a great job, and we've added on some, and we got some young guys, and, you know, yes. And when you add a Goldschmidt, you know, who has shown past leadership, but this is on the offensive side, and you know, it's the captain's team, and on the pitching side is Gerrit Cole. So we that has maintained itself, and then of course, excuse me there, but of course is the leadership from Aaron Boone, you know, the manager. So we feel good going into the year, but then again, I'm one of those that, you know, I'm never happy. We still got to continue to improve. That's how I look at it.
Third base is the question everybody's talking about right now. You've got LeMahieu. You've got Oswaldo Cabrera. I thought Cabrera and Soto carried the team last year in the month of April while Judge got it going. And once he got it going in early May, he took off like a rocket. But let's not forget, Oswaldo Cabrera, while DJ was hurt at the beginning of last year, he was a key piece to that Yankee offense. So, you know, everybody's looking down at the third base group right now, and LeMahieu, Cabrera, maybe Oswald Peraza. If that's where we're going with one of those three guys, it's not the worst case scenario, Omar.
I totally agree with you. I think we got to give Cabrera a chance. And I do believe that LeMahieu, you know, has been hurt. If he's healthy, hopefully we can get the LeMahieu that we've known in the past. But we got to give some of these young guys a chance. And if it's a window that opens up for Cabrera, the good thing about Cabrera is his versatility. He can help all over the place. The lefty-righty situation, Cabrera's a better left-handed hitter. And if LeMahieu fills that in. And, you know, don't ever underestimate Brian Cashman, and continuing to improve this team.
No, I agree 100%. All right, let's go around the American League. Some teams have made major moves. The Tigers have made some moves. The Royals added Carlos Estevez. These are two of the teams out of the very surprising American League Central Division that made the playoffs last year. Houston maybe took a step back trading Kyle Tucker, but they're always going to be competitive. Right now, as you look at the landscape of the American League, I think the Yankees are the favorites, although you never want to take that attitude. I always like to go into it maybe thinking I'm an underdog. But literally, when you look at the American League East, Toronto recently has made some moves, not what they wanted. You know, Scherzer, Santander, I don't know how much of an improvement there. It's Vladdy's walk year. We'll see what Vladdy, you know, gives them this year. Do they trade Vladdy at the deadline? Do they let him go at the end of the year? Does he stay? There's a lot of uncertainty in the American League East. But some of these teams in the Central, you know, Cleveland, they did trade away their first baseman, sent him, you know, to the Diamondbacks. So, you're not sure where they're going to be. But looking at the American League as a whole right now, I like our chances, Omar.
Well, I think we have a good team, but I also have a thing. You have young teams like Kansas City that play well last year. And Ricky, I've been in the business long enough to know, and I put teams together long enough to know that you don't win championships on paper. You win them on the field. You know what I'm saying? And the bottom line is, no matter how that baby looks on paper, when they say play ball, it's 162. A lot of things can happen, injuries, and all these kinds of things. I like our team. I respect every other team in the league. Look at Kansas City where the year before, and then look where they ended up. You know, it's a long season. I just want to make sure that we're the best that we can be. I want to make sure that, you know, we stay healthy. I want to make sure that we are always opening to improve the team. All these things, I do like the fact that we're better defensively. I do believe championships are won with pitching. I think bullpen. And I think we improved those areas. So versatility, starting pitching, bullpen, those areas we've improved on. I can only focus on what we can do. But I will tell you, you know, you can put it on paper. And once the lights go on, the other team, they don't care what's on paper. They're just going to try to beat you every game.
We're talking to Omar Minaya, special assistant to the GM of the Yankees. Omar, National League, there's been a lot of conversation about what the Dodgers have done.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're very tied in and connected and understand the Japanese baseball scene. And in these last few years, it seems like the Japanese player has really become comfortable playing on the West Coast. Is there any particular reason other than maybe it's a shorter trip back? The revenue is there, but the Dodgers, Padres, it's almost as if the, and I know they're spread out all over the place, but the Caribbean players sort of prefer to be on the East Coast. But the Japanese superstars, as we have seen here, Yamamoto last year, Roki Sasaki this year, they prefer playing on the West Coast. Any particular reason?
Well, no, I think, I mean, look, historically, when you look at the influx of Japanese players back starting out with Nomo with the Dodgers and Ichiro and Sasaki with Seattle, there's always been a strong pull in for the West Coast teams. And listen, I think you got to give credit to the Dodgers, the recruitment of players. You know, these things happen because there's a lot of work that's put into this, you know. And I can tell you that I know well some of the Dodgers from the leadership, from, across the board, from their scouts, from Andrew Freeman, Josh Burns, and their group of some of their scouts. And look, at the end of the day, you know, now it is, you know, it has, you said, it has been a trend recently, a more trend with high-end players, whether it was Ichiro, who first started off and went to the Angels and then the Dodgers, and then you're talking about Yamamoto, and then you're talking about the Sasaki with the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Look, they're doing a great job in not only in promoting and recruiting, whether the West Coast is something more that they like. But, you know, whether we had our Matsui and all that. And I do believe this thing it could be a trend. But historically, when you look at the history, the majority, if you ask me more, the majority of the players have ended up in the West Coast, with Seattle, Dodgers, Padres, and then, of course, the Yankees. And, you know, over the years, and, you know, with the Mets, we did sign, when I was there, we signed a whole bunch of Japanese players.
But you did,
guys,
yeah.
That we signed. You know, we signed them, but we were signing, you know, not the star player, even though I know, I believe Matsui was signed. I was not there when he was signed. But if I believe the Mets, Matsui was the one that was signed. I think I was at the Expos at that time when that happened.
Kaz Matsui and Masato Yoshi?
Yeah, Masato Yoshi, who was Sasaki's manager. We had a whole bunch. I love signing Japanese guys. Shinjo, if you remember.
Yeah, Shiyoshi Shinjo, yeah.
Yeah, Shinjo, and we signed all those guys, Yoshi and others, but they were more, lower, and I say from the salary scale, they were more, you know, minor sign dollar-wise.
All right, last thing before I let you go, you got to give me comments on the three guys that got voted into the Hall of Fame here recently. You know all of them very, very well. Ichiro, Suzuki, I don't know what, there's one writer out there, Omar, that didn't vote for this guy. I can't believe it. But then CeCe Sabathia, first ballot, and then the last shot for a guy you know well in Billy Wagner, they are all going to Cooperstown.
Well, all of them well-deserving. CeCe, without a doubt, one of the best, you talk to people, one of the best teammates people play with. You know, Ichiro, I mean, come on. We know who he is. I mean, he's just unbelievable. And for me, it's personal with Billy Wagner, especially the last one. you know, I recruited Billy to be a Met. We had a great run with Billy. Billy, I call him right after he got inducted, and him, and I go back also to Sarah and his wife and his family, just so happy, you know, so happy for those guys. But I don't want to have this conversation without saying two guys that I think belong in the Hall of Fame, and one of them is Carlos Beltran. I hope he gets in. Carlos is like mi hermano.
Yep.
I love that guy. And the other guy is, I believe Johnny Franco should be in the Hall of Fame. Lefty, I just think Johnny Franco, when you look at his overall numbers, the history of his numbers, how many saves he had, you know, Johnny should be in the Hall of Fame, and Beltran, and I hope someday Johnny gets in, and I also hope that Beltran gets in.
I don't know how Carlos did get in this year. I think there's still some guys that are making him pay for the whole Houston thing. Put that to the side. The guy's a Hall of Famer. He's about 3 percentage points away from getting to that 75%. I agree with you 1,000%. He should be in. And I didn't ask you this. I got to. Yankee fans won't forgive me if I don't. But left field this year, Aaron Boone said it the other day, it's going to be the Martian. They're going to give Jason Dominguez every opportunity to develop as the player we all think he can be. How much belief, what's the ceiling? You know this kid better than anybody, probably. Jason Dominguez, let him play every day. This kid's a budding superstar. What is the ceiling to the market?
I think we've seen moments when Jason has been a plus-plus player, okay? We've also seen moments that we think Jason, you know, even last year, you know, as far as how he was, you know, play left field, understanding this, if I'm not mistaken, Jason is 21, 22 years old.
Yeah, baby.
You know? So you got to, like, these kids, understand, these kids take time. You know, it takes time for this to all come together. But I will tell you this, that we as an organization are committed to giving him that opportunity. Booney is, the scouting staff is, the development staff is. We're committing to giving him a chance. And I think he's going to be fine. Now, I always say this to a lot of guys, you know, a person who's been in the industry for many years, who's seen a lot of, you know, good players, great players develop, young. You know, you're going to have to be patient. It's not always going to be, you know, it's just this is a roller coaster in these young guys. There'll be good months, there'll be bad months, there'll be good weeks, there'll be bad weeks. But we're going to have to commit to some of these guys. And I do believe youth, the way the game is right now, you got to have young players to be able to win. Look at all the teams that are winning. They have a mixture of veteran, but you can't go all veteran. You got to have young players. And Booney's going to give Jason a chance.
Omar, you're old enough to remember the glory days of the Lakers and the Knicks at the Garden. You're a Queens guy. You watched years ago, you know, from the Jerry West era to the Kobe Bryant era with Shaq. Tonight, LeBron and the Lakers back. It could be LeBron's final. Who knows? He may call it quits after this season. You're an NBA dad, as your son, you know, obviously in Providence and with the Portland Trail Blazers. You know your basketball. You're a New York guy. You love your basketball. Tonight, LeBron and the Knicks brings back a lot of memories, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. At the greatest arena in the world. And you're right. I'm a Knicks guy. You know, when Bob Wolf was announcing the game and me listening to the playoff game that used to be held in the afternoon in April.
On tape delay. Remember? The finals were on tape delay at 11:30 at night.
People forgot that. Those games were delayed. If I'm not mistaken, I think the famous shot that Jerry West took, you know.
Yeah.
No, that was not watched live. It was some game, you know. But yeah, and I am, I'm a diehard Knicks fan. I love the Knicks. I think Leon Rose, I think Gerson Roses, I think Coach Tibbs on them have done a great job. I just love the Knicks and go Knicks. But I have to say this, as you know, my son is in the league, and I love great talent. And man, watching LeBron is something special, man. Watching him, it's just unbelievable. I went to see him his first year. I went to, at that time, it was in Jersey. He played against the Nets when he was his first. I had to go see him, his first game in New York. And I said to myself, this kid was playing in high school last year, and he's still going. So for me, I think it's great. I think the Knicks are doing great. We got Towns, un Dominicano in town. Yeah. And I love everything that Leon, Gerson, West, and Tibbs are doing. Hey, man, go Knicks.
Omar, good luck. I'll be with you in Tampa here shortly in a couple of weeks. I'll be doing the Super Bowl. You know, I call the Eagles. So hopefully I bring Booney. You know, Booney's an Eagle fan, so hopefully I bring another ring back from New Orleans. But I'll see all of you guys in Tampa in a couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to this in 2025 Yankee season. I know you guys haven't finished the job yet, okay? We trust you and the brain trust of the team and Brian to finish this thing off and get us over the hump and get us that 28th World Series championship. But, you know, we love you. We're thinking about you. And enjoy tonight's, going back down memory lane when you watch Lakers and Knicks tonight, my friend.
Ricky, it's always a pleasure to be with you. So wait a minute, I remember your days in Philadelphia. That means you're an Eagles fan. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I'm a Jet fan from birth. I'm a Jet fan from birth, but I got the Eagles broadcasting job 15 years ago, and so I just drive down the turnpike, and over the years I've turned to love the organization. It's been fantastic, and I've got a Super Bowl ring and an NFC Championship ring from the Eagles. So I'll be in New Orleans this week coming up as we try to stop the Kansas City Chiefs dynasty, my friend.
So how does it feel to be a Jet fan for all these years?
as Joe Benigno says, the pain. And you know what I'm talking about.
Joe is great. Joe is great. I remember the Jets when they used to be Shea Stadium. It was a lot of fun. I'm a New York fan. So all the best. Enjoy the Super Bowl. And let's have a great baseball season, okay?
All right. Omar Minaya. I'll see you in Tampa, my friend-o.